Welcome back, Lions fans. It's been a while since we saw you last. Took a little bit of much needed TLC during that 4th of July break. Just take some time. And the news was relatively slow for the Lions as well, so it just felt like a good time to take a break.
We were celebrating maximum freedom.
Exactly, yep. So this week, though, I mean, that means we've got about 2 weeks full of news to share with you guys, and some big stuff has been happening all around Lions news and Detroit news in general. Of course, we'll start, you know, by addressing our hard-hitting questions in our quick hit segment. And as you guys know, that's where we pull questions that are surrounding the Lions that have been circulating through social media or just the national media in general, and just address them and give our thoughts on what we think the answer to those questions are.
Yep. And then we have some interesting works from the Lions beat writers around the area in our main event. We will let you guys know what we think about those. And we also have a certain receiver who is now a star on and off the field. So we'll see how that goes. Someone hit the red carpet.
Then we always end our show with our That Was Random segment, where we're going to, you know, take a look at some of the other happenings going on, whether it be in the league, out of the league. This week, we even have some pop culture news for you, so we're going to be diversifying, but we'll a little bit of a sneak peek there. We'll take a look at kind of Tariq Skubal for the Tigers and his situation and whether or not the Tigers would be smart to trade him at the deadline.
Yeah, and as always, the show is brought to you by the one and the only Empire Contractors out of Shelby, Michigan. Empire Contractors is a full-service roofing company that specializes in liquid-applied roof restoration. If you or someone you know needs a commercial roof, definitely check them out, roofsbyempire.com or on Facebook, and we'll give you a little more on that a little later. So let's check this out. Let's move into quick hits right now. So first one, I think this was before 4th of July. It was said, or it was reported by Jeff Risden, said, you will not see other wide receivers brought in, talking about Detroit. And this was, I don't think this was from him. I think it was someone, I can't remember if it was actually Brad Holmes or Dan Campbell or who it was, but, quoted saying, you will not see other wide receivers brought in. Agents have asked, but Detroit is answering, they are not interested in bringing in any receivers at this point. Is that a mistake or not?
I think it's a mistake to close the door like that. I don't think you should ever say we're not accepting talent. You know, we're not open to bringing in talent because, you know, the wide receiver room, as good as it could be with Amon-Ra, we know what he is, and Jameson Williams, hopefully a budding star, and then the complimentary pieces like Khalif Raymond and some of those other guys, it's just,
still question marks.
We still need somebody to replace the production of Josh Reynolds, and we don't know who that's going to be yet. So I think this gives me, it's good and bad for me, because bad is, like I said, you don't want to shut the door on bringing in talent, but good because that means that there's confidence in what they have and they like what they've seen so far in the early going of OTAs and training camp and that.
Yeah, I agree. Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. It's confidence, which is good, but it's also arrogance, which is annoying to me. There's always a little bit of arrogance that goes into a championship team, which is great. But when you're in the off season and you're between OTAs and you know, training camp, for you to close the door on any receivers, and you know, they could just be saying this. You know, if you know, Justin Jefferson all of a sudden got caught. I'm not saying he ever would, but I'm just saying if something crazy happened where somebody was available, they would bring him in. Let's be honest. But yeah, I think there's maybe a little bit too much arrogance here for me on this one.
That just means to me that either like they like what they have or they don't like what's on the market right now. There might not be anyone worth bringing in their eyes.
Right. And that's kind of what I'm saying. It's possible that, you know, the right person was available, it would happen. But yeah, like you're saying, like if we go down the list of free agents or availability, we're not interested in any of them. We're not bringing them in. That's probably what's going on there, yeah. I would think. So,
well, enough of the receiver talk. We'll jump to defense
for now.
Jeremy Reisman came in and was talking about, you know, the defense. And he said that he feels as though they people haven't closed the door on Emmanuel Mosley yet. Mm-hmm. He was quoted, Jeremy was, as saying, "I certainly know that the people in the building are not counting out Emmanuel Mosley." That, to me, is you know, a bit not surprising that they're not counting him out, but surprising to have such confidence in a player that hasn't played much, I guess. Do you see him having a spot on this team after something like that coming out, I guess?
I'll answer that kind of a long way around. Let me reflect first on kind of the timeline of Emmanuel Mosley real quick. I just want to kind of say what I think is happening here. Prior to the draft, we gave him a one-year deal, and we knew he was going to be hurt into the season. We knew that. Then we had the draft, and things changed. We had free agency and the draft, and things changed. I see two things happening here, and this goes against the arrogance that I was talking about before, but I see people in camp that are probably, playing to his ego a little bit. They don't want him to give up on himself. You know, you want to say the right things. The dude's rehabbing. You want to make sure that, regardless if it's in Detroit or somewhere else, you want to make sure that the dude has the confidence to move forward in his career. So they're doing the right thing there. I'm okay with that. I don't think he has a spot on this team. I think the injuries that he sustained, regardless of how he was 2 years ago, I think the injuries he sustained, it's going to be really hard to come back as a defensive back and not lose a step or two.
Well, I think realistically what we're looking at here is he's going to be on the team regardless to start the year because he's going to be put on IR anyway.
Yeah.
There's no way he's going to be playing before, you know, their bye week early in the season there. I doubt that's going to happen. I doubt we might not even see him until like the second half of the season possibly. Mm-hmm. But so he's not going to be taking up a roster spot. He'll be landing on IR.
Let me ask you real quick. I'm not trying to cut off your answer. I'm building into your answer actually. Do you like what you're saying? Do you see them not rushing? They didn't rush him back, but do you see them bringing him back as early as they did last year? Or are they going to be even slower this year because of even if he was ready in the same game?
Well, that all depends on how the players on the field are
what
playing.
They need.
You know,
yeah.
If they're okay. Having just outstanding play from Carlton Davis and Terrion Arnold, Brian Branch. You know, Robertson,
yeah,
and
why?
You got Ennis Rakestraw. I mean, why rush him back?
You got to miss Anderson in there. He's going to be in there too.
I don't see it happening anyway because of the track record that the Lions have on bringing people back from injury.
Mm-hmm.
They always err on the side of caution rather than rushing someone back. We saw that with James Houston last year. And, you know, they've done it with other guys. Jameson Williams, they weren't rushing him back. Hendon Hooker, they didn't put him in at any point at the
nope.
last stretch of that season when, you know, seeds were basically wrapped up and they
mm-hmm.
could have played him.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't make sense for them to put him in until he's absolutely 100% ready.
And last year proved that we can do that and successfully do that.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your answer? Does he have a spot on this team even late in the season?
Tentatively, yes, because I think there's going to be a lot of things that happen regarding injury or people not playing up to par.
Okay.
And he is kind of that unknown. So if somebody's not playing well, they very well could find themselves on a practice squad or released, and
mm-hmm.
then he could jump in and take that spot. So
okay.
I see him having some kind of role. I don't see it being a very big one, though.
So just to – I don't want to dwell too much on this, but I want to go a little bit further just to ask you this. Do you think so? Like, if Emmanuel Mosley comes back and he's at least, you know, 90% of what he was 2 years ago in San Francisco, okay, he comes back. Do you rate him, even at 90% the person he was? Do you rate him over Amik Robertson?
I think he fits. I don't know if I'd rate him over him. I think he would slide right into that
in that area.
Yeah,
that same
I think
range.
He'd be fighting for the cornerback three spot.
Okay.
So
is that going to be him, Amik, and possibly Rakestraw, too, in that three range?
Possibly. I don't think they, just judging from the way they've talked about Rakestraw, I don't see him having a major impact this year. I think he's going to be a rotational guy. He's just going to learn.
Yeah, you may not see him much at all.
Yeah, they're kind of grooming him to be a Nickel Corner. Sounds like what they're doing with him, and they've got so many guys that can play that position right now that he's just going to sit back and learn a little bit, and he'll get some time on the field this year, but it's going to be in a rotation.
Is it possible that we got him? I'm starting to just kind of see, like, you know, Brad Holmes is a mastermind. I mean, the dude's a mastermind. Is it possible that, like, again, I'm guessing. This is crazy the way I have to guess because he's so crazy with his thought process ahead of schedule. Is it possible that we can't pay Kirby, so here comes Brian Branch, and then here comes Rakestraw?
No.
You don't see that the thought process?
Maybe that's part of the thought process, but I don't think he's looking that far ahead, or he may be looking that far ahead. I don't mean to say that. He's focused on right now.
Yeah, I get you.
And if Kirby plays well, they've showed that they will pay their guys.
Yeah, and that's a good position to pay.
Anyone else, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And the safety is not going to demand a lot of money necessarily. I know I'll scratch. No, not that. I'm going to scratch that because Antoine Winfield Jr. just signed the richest contract that made him the highest paid DB in the NFL.
Which he could have been a Lion, but we'll get past that. But
we don't need him.
No, we don't. All right, so let's move on to the next one. Aiden Hutchinson, the dude, I love hearing from him. Honestly, he's one of the realest people I've ever seen on the Lions team as far as like what he says. He was quoted as saying, "I feel like it's the year." They're talking about whether the Lions believe they can win the Super Bowl. He said, "I feel like it's the year. With every fiber of my body, I feel like it's the year." Is it the year?
I think I feel the best about the Lions making and possibly winning a Super Bowl this year than I ever have, just because last year was not supposed to be the year for us, and it very nearly was the year for us.
And we added pieces, and we got better in spots.
I don't think anyone would have expected us. Even I didn't expect us to be in the NFC Championship game last year, and we just kind of steamrolled right in. Yep. So, and you know, whatever, keep driving the knife in. But we almost won that game too, and we were almost in the Super Bowl. So I don't see why we couldn't do the same this year. It's all gonna depend on guys playing the way that they need to play, the way some guys should have played last year and they weren't available or didn't play up.
Yeah, hey, that's what you're saying. Yeah, okay. So that's kind of all inclusive of what you were saying. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah, I agree. I think if there ever was a stinking year for the Lions, this is the year. If there ever was one. I'm not saying that next year is not better, the year after that's not better, but if there ever was a preseason where you could say every fiber of my body, I feel like it's the year, it hasn't happened in my 35 years of life that I can say it with confidence as much as I can this year. So we'll see. A lot of people are saying the Lions win one or two or whatever in the next 5 years because of the pieces they got. So we'll see what happens. Damn it, I'd be happy with one. I'd be happy with one. But let's see where it goes from there. And they've got a young core, and I do believe with every fiber of my body that this is as close as I've ever felt, I guess.
Yep. So moving on from that, I mean, this is just a general question. The Lions offense has been getting a lot of love, rightfully so, this offseason. Do you believe that the Lions have the best overall offense position to position in the NFL?
No.
Yeah. Who is above them for you?
I mean, if you're going position to position, it sucks that we have to do this because the offensive line is number one easily. But I really think I would almost, I mean, there's a couple of them, but you're going to hate me for this, but the Bears might be up there if they're healthy. The Bears have a serviceable offensive line. They have pretty awesome receivers on paper. We're going on paper because we haven't seen half these guys, right? Mm-hmm. The Texans, they've got a really good receiving core. They've got a quarterback who pains me to say might be in the MVP race this year. They've got a tight end that's solid. They've got their offensive line isn't amazing. Their running back, I guess, isn't great.
They got Joe Mixon. Don't forget about that.
That's true. Never mind. I changed it. They are. I would say they are up there. And again, it's going to pain me more than any. I would say the Eagles are probably number one in my mind because I think even though you lost Kelce on that line, that line was still really good besides
they had,
him.
They had his heir apparent ready to go
right,
anyway.
Right. And that, but that's what I'm saying. Like, around Kelce, that offensive line was still good. That offensive line wasn't number one in the NFL just because of Kelce.
No, Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata are crazy good, and
they've got
Dickerson as well.
Yep,
at the guard.
They've got Jalen Hurts. Everybody wants to hate on him, but he finds ways to win, whether he's on his feet or throwing the ball. They've got A.J. Brown, who might be top three wide receiver in the NFL, in my opinion. They've got Devontae Smith, who could be top 10 to 15. Their running back, who do they got? Saquon Barkley. I mean, you know, if we're going position for position, it's the Eagles for me, number one.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not going to even entertain.
He's
going to
say the Raiders.
No, I'm not even going to entertain the Bears being in that question because
on paper.
That's fine, but Caleb Williams has
is
not,
a boss.
Let's not crown him. He hasn't played
Lord
a snap
have mercy.
Of football. Their offensive line is not serviceable. They have like one good tackle and maybe a good guard, and everyone else on that line is nothing.
Solid
me.
Tight end.
Yeah, Cole Kmet's good. I'm not going to count out that tight end or wide receiver category because they're good there. But the quarterback is a rookie who hasn't
running
played
back.
A snap of NFL football. The running back is a fluke of DeAndre Swift, who had
I was
like
waiting, man.
Two big games and was playing against, let's face it, probably the best offensive line in football last season.
All I heard was, throw to A.J. Brown, damn it.
Yeah, so
fantasy football.
DeAndre Swift was a fluke, and who's he got behind him? Khalil Herbert? Like, honestly, I think the Bears would have been better off drafting a young running back and keeping Deontay Foreman.
They'd have been better off keeping Montgomery.
Deontay Foreman has been an absolute beast wherever he goes. He
solid
has big
player.
Games every time.
Yep.
And what did they do but just go get spend a bunch of money on DeAndre Swift, and I hope it works out. No.
No, you don't.
Scratch that. I hope it doesn't work out for them because they just paid a crap ton of money.
Yeah.
And they do it. I don't know what their thought process is year to year on spending money, but it's ridiculous because they just spent like half or more of their cap space last year on two linebackers.
I don't know if it's the homer in me because Swift used to play for the Lions, but for some reason, I can't get it out of my head that he's not good.
I don't hate
or I can't get it. I can't get it out of my head that he is good.
It's not a hate for DeAndre Swift because he isn't on the Lions, because by all means that was a great move and it panned out for us great, and I wouldn't have been any I probably, you know, you can't look at that. We didn't know what Gibbs was going to be. We didn't know what Montgomery was necessarily
right.
going to be for
right.
us. So if we had capped DeAndre Swift and David Montgomery, I wasn't going to be upset,
and we probably would have been all right. We wouldn't be as well off as we are now with a top five running back in his rookie season, but
yeah, I don't know. I guess Bears fans, you know, look forward to watching DeAndre Swift run out of bounds or you know, get away from contact as quick as possible and sacrifice yards because that's what he is.
Yeah, he won't run between the tackles. That was the problem in Detroit with him. He just would not run between the tackles. It was go to the sideline and that's it. Yeah. All right, so a little bit of a skip in our thing there, but I was saying that DeAndre Swift refuses to run between the tackles. He runs sideline to sideline, and that, you know, anyway, so I guess you need to answer this question still, though. Do you see them as the top offense in the NFL?
No, I would agree with you. I don't think they're the top. I think they're top three. I think they're somewhere in there, but okay. I wouldn't put them in the top.
Who do you have as one?
I think you made a good point on the Eagles, and other than the offensive line, really, I could see the Niners being in there.
Okay.
Baltimore might have increased. Their wide receiver room isn't great, but they have Zay Flowers, and they just got Derrick Henry.
Yep, that's true. That's true. Hopefully Derrick Henry, not hopefully, but yeah, for football's sake, hopefully Derrick Henry is back to the person he was prior to start of the season last year. He started really slow last year.
Yeah,
so.
And the Texans, like you said, are in there too. There's a lot of teams that are jockeying for that top five area, but I think the Lions are top three somewhere.
Yeah, and I mean, the nice thing is, unlike the NBA, it seems like, the teams that you named there are a good mixture of NFC and AFC, so it's not like all on Eastern or Western. Like, it seems like it always happens for the NBA, so that's helpful for us. All right, let's move to the, is this the last one? Yeah, the last one we have here for our quick hits is PFF actually graded the Lions secondary at number 11 in the NFL. That is preseason grading. That is not based on anything last year. That is going into the or going into training camp is what they're rating them at. Do you agree with that? And that is really hard to answer, I know.
I think it's close. I think it's a little high for what I'm thinking. I think going in without seeing anything, I would say I'd put them somewhere in like the 15 to 17 range.
Yep.
And then, you know, they could up, you know, jump from there depending on how pieces play out. But
well, and that just makes sense based on what you said in prior, you know, prior episodes is that you see them being ending at about middle of the pack for the pass game. So I disagree with this 11, and it's not that I have a number. It's just that I disagree with even making this ranking. I just, like, this is such a random, like, who do we have that was here last year realistically? You know, I mean, we have our safeties, yeah, but if he was only partially in the season, you know, Brian Branch is going to play different workload. It just, it's a weird one to try to throw out there to me. Too early for that. That's all.
Well, moving on.
All right, so we're going to move into the main event, and the main event is brought to you by our sponsor, Empire Contractors. So before we get into the main event, let's check out a message from them.
This show is brought to you by Empire Contractors over here in Shelby, Michigan, on the west side of the state where we do our show, right along the lakeshore. Empire Contractors is a commercial roofing contractor who specializes in liquid applied roofing restoration. Check this out.
They can clean your existing roof, make some minor repairs, and apply a new thick coating system over your existing roof, avoiding expensive and nasty tear-off, saving you about half the cost over other systems. Empire Contractors work the entire Great Lakes region.
Give them a call to see if your roof is a candidate. They can be reached at 231-861-7221 or by going to roofsbyempire.com. They are also on Facebook. All right, we are back from our short little break here. Jumping into the main event here.
Brennan drank a six-pack in that amount of time.
I wish I could drink that much in that time. I don't think I would be able to. Anyway.
Jason Kelsey could teach you.
Yeah, moving into the main event, our first and probably the biggest news coming out this week was the release of Netflix's documentary Receiver that followed how many? Like five or six different guys in the NFL?
Yeah, I think it was five total, I think.
Five guys in the NFL and
goated
at the receiver or tight end position. And, you know, none other than Amon-Ra St. Brown was featured, and he had a good amount of spotlight this week.
That show was goated. It's great.
I guess just you can I haven't gotten a chance to dive in too deep on it, but I know you have. So, you know, if you want to just give some quick thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have too much because I want you guys to see it if you haven't had a chance. I mean, obviously, it just came out this week, so I don't want to throw any spoilers out there. One thing I can say is one of the trending searches, according to Mike Payton, actually on X. Shout out Mike Payton. One of the trending Google searches was Amon-Ra St. Brown's girlfriend. So if that gives you any insight into how that goes there on the show, but I also really like what they did. I've learned a lot of things. One thing that I learned is basically, you know, the tight end out of San Francisco, none other than George Kittle, is a very weird person. Very, very weird person. And it was just cool. I mean, you guys probably, a lot of you have seen Quarterback. It was exactly the same thing, made by the same people, essentially. And, you know, Peyton Manning was behind part of this, and you definitely should check it out. I just don't, I'm trying to stop myself because I don't want to give too many spoilers.
If you want to see Davante Adams get pissed at his decision to join the Raiders, go ahead and watch, because
it's really funny because, again, I don't want to give them too much, but you can see it from literally like episode two on. Like, it's building. Like, they start at the beginning of the season, they just go from start season to end season, and you can just see the thought process. One I wish they would have done is A.J. Brown, because the way that went down in Philly.
I don't even care to see I don't.
I'm just saying, like, I would have loved to have seen some of the behind the scenes on what happened there.
I wish they would have diversified and only picked one guy from the Niners to do. I don't think we needed to have Kittle and Debo.
That's just glazing. They're just riding like crazy on that one. And I think the reason they chose that was, again, I said this last week, I think. Two reasons. First of all, George Kittle is a weird person, so it's good TV. He's a very weird person. Funny, but weird. And then, and I think, you know, they looked at Debo Samuel's injury record and said, we probably better get two people on this team.
Yeah, I would have rather watched Rashee Rice, to be honest.
That would have been cool if you could have caught him because he's running
Jesus.
Away.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So, moving in next, we've got Tim Twentyman. You know, everybody knows him, a Lions beat writer. Top rookies.
Always writing good stuff.
He ranked a top 10 of the rookies, top rookies that the Lions will face in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just run down this list really quick, and we can give our thoughts afterwards.
Yeah.
Number one, he had Caleb Williams from the Bears, Marvin Harrison Jr. for the Cardinals, Romo Dunze for the Bears, J.J. McCarthy for the Vikings, Leatu Latu from the Colts, Byron Murphy from the Seahawks, Dallas Turner from the Vikings, Jared Verse from the Rams, Brian Thomas Jr. for the Jags, and Jordan Morgan for the Packers. I guess any thoughts, anyone you would add or anyone you would drop off that list?
Well, here's the thing. The first one is my opinion is going to be a bust in the NFL. He's overconfident, he's cocky, and it's not in a good way. He's just an idiot about it.
We'll just stop beating that drum, because how many times have we said
I know,
that?
But we're asking, like, you know, the top rookies that they'll face. I mean, I guess the way I'm looking at it is, I'll go down this list, you know, just looking at this list here on my computer, am I afraid of any of these? No. I don't think any of these guys, they'll be good. I don't think any of these guys, maybe Odunze, maybe one of those defensive guys like Latu or, you know, Jared Verse, I could see having a good season, but I'm not afraid of these guys. Like, teams should have been afraid of some of the Lions rookies last year. I'm just not. So,
didn't refresh my memory just because I'm blanking. Did Danielle Hunter sign back with the Vikings, or where did he end up?
Didn't he go to the Saints?
He ended up, I don't think he was back with the Vikings, but he ended up somewhere, and I can't remember. Texans. But,
wow.
Yeah, so that makes me a little bit less scared of Jared Verse because he doesn't have the complimentary pieces. They did get a pair of outside linebacker guys to rush the edge with Van Ginkle from the Miami Dolphins, and they also got, I can't remember his name, but a budding star from the Texans. They essentially swapped, kind of.
Yeah.
There.
Okay.
But he doesn't scare me. I think the one that scares me the most on here is Leatu Latu, just because if he's healthy, that guy is an absolute freak. And I had no idea going into the draft how good he was, but just watching the tape, and he could have been a top guy had his college career not been derailed by that neck injury.
So this might be a, you know, here we go. Every week it seems like this might be a Zach super cold take. And this shows up on our TikTok by some of the blind ratings that I've done, blind rankings of NFL teams. I think the Colts are going to be one of those sneaky teams this year.
That's a cold take. I've actually heard that a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
I hadn't heard that, honestly. For real, I hadn't.
I think it all hinges really on the play of Anthony Richardson and whether he can stay healthy.
Have you seen pictures of that dude?
No, I mean, he's probably massive. He was massive before.
Massive-er. Crazy.
The thing with them is they don't have Gardner Minshew to fall back on anymore.
That's true.
So
but
if he goes down, that
they'll live and die with Anthony Richardson. That's the problem. Anthony Richardson, I can see, is already starting his career the same way, and hopefully he makes the changes the same way Lamar Jackson did. Like, they're going to want to, dude, you got to chill. You got to stay in the pocket a little more. Stop making everything just, like, trying to run and take hits. That's what Lamar Jackson did. That's what they had to get through his head, and the dude's now a two-time MVP.
Well, that's the problem with Anthony Richardson is they don't design him running like that. He does.
But that's what I'm saying. They got to tell him.
He's got to stop.
Yes.
If you
Lamar did the same thing.
If there's the open avenues you run, if it's, like, a crucial situation where you have to, then you do. Otherwise, get rid of that ball, throw it away,
yep.
Fall down, and you know, let
way
someone
different
land on you.
Way but different than you know, Florida versus LSU or whatever than it is, you know, his team versus anybody in the NFL. Yeah.
So, I mean, the only other thing I'll say on this list is I am kind of surprised by the Jordan Morgan for the Packers. I'm assuming that's just a throw on at the
like
end.
Like we ran out,
face
yeah.
him twice.
Yeah.
And he's going to be probably a starting offensive lineman, but I'm not scared of Jordan Morgan. I was absolutely surprised that they took him, and I think the only reason they took him is because everyone they wanted
fleeced.
Was taken.
Yeah.
In front of them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was still one of my favorite parts of the draft. We've gone in detail about that even more possibly than Caleb Williams. But anyways, I feel like you're right. I think they added that one on because it was like, okay, we got Vikings, two Vikings, we got two Bears. We got to get somebody, the Packers, for the NFC North. So, all right, let's move on to the next one. Lindsay Miller, Detroit Lion, she wrote something for the Detroit Lions offseason questions is what she named it. And, you know, the position group to watch is what she was looking for. And she asked a couple of the beat writers, and Tim Twentyman was one of them, and he said the defensive secondary. Danny Rogers, who I believe is a sideline reporter for the Detroit Lions, also said defensive secondary. The editor's pick, which would be Lindsay Miller, said wide receiver. What would you say? I mean, do you have a thought on what position group to watch this year?
I think
year?
Both of those are great picks, the defense secondary and the wide receiver. I think I'm more focused on the D-line right now, though. I just want to see production opposite Hutchinson, and that production I hope feeds into Hutchinson, and we see him have a huge Nick Bosa-esque year.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to say on that, is I want to see the D-line is one I'm intrigued by and one that I want to see improve.
I might surprise you on this. I'm not going to say I'm going to, but I might surprise you. Position group to watch in the offseason. D-line would be great to watch. Defensive secondary would be great to watch. Wide receivers, but we know what we got in most of those. The kicker position. That's
yeah,
the one I want to watch.
One.
I'm interested to see what happens there.
It's
I really can't wait.
It's not the sexiest pick, but with the turmoils we've had at that position,
it's just interesting to me.
Yeah, and you know, Jake Bates being in there makes it just so much more flashy.
It's just intriguing,
just because
yeah.
we've seen what he
yep.
did with the Panthers, and we don't know consistency wise what he's going to be, but
right.
we've seen him at his highs.
Right, and that's the thing that has that's what has me intrigued. Is we won't even know that when we go into the season. If we choose Jake Bates, we still don't know what we're getting in Jake Bates.
I think one more thing I'll add on. I know I wasn't going to expand too much, but the defensive line intrigues me just because of all the guys that we talk about. There's guys that we don't talk about that are in there that are, it's going to be interesting. We've still got Matthew Betts out of
Kaminsky.
The Canadian Football League that no one seems to be talking about, but he led the league. The Canadian Football League in sacks last year, and he had, I think he won like Defensive Player of the Year or something over
and
there.
He's, and it's surprising to me. Like, I saw him in some OTAs pictures. He's a big body.
Yeah.
Like, he's bigger than I thought he was.
Yeah.
His paws. Anyways, so, but what I'm saying, I agree with you on that. And another one that I actually saw just got some flowers literally like yesterday, I think, in an X post. Like, a lot of people are overlooking what Pascal can possibly do. Like
no,
nobody
yeah,
talks about Pascal.
I love Pascal.
Everybody is overlooking
Pascal
that
was having some of those games last year where he would just cut off like a 3-sack performance.
Yeah.
And he was hurt, which was part of his problem last season, but
they didn't use him much either though. Not
I
as
think,
much.
Well, no, cuz he was still coming back from that injury. I don't think they were
we're back
know.
To them easing people in.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
And then, you know, guy that you probably don't want to talk about, but Broderick Martin is still hanging around there. What's he done in
no,
a
I'm
year?
I'm gonna throw this out there. I'm good after what I've seen him doing, and the fact that he's literally saying that he's following the Aleem McNeil plan. Like, I was pissed with that pick, but we don't have to say I'm upset about that anymore because I'm intrigued to see what he does.
And
I'm
just like looking back at that, I don't know why anyone. Even me and you expected him to do anything on the field or have much because he played for Western Kentucky. That's not.
I can tell you why.
A great.
Program. I can tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because we spent a third round pick on him.
Well, that's
the thing. Why.
This is the thing, though. This is what Brad Holmes
now
does.
Now you're making me mad about him again.
But Brad, that's what Brad Holmes does, and he just did it with Manu too. he takes these guys that probably would have been superstar first round pick kind of guys had they gotten into the type of programs that could have developed them into that player, but they just have all this raw athleticism and not the basic, you know, elements of playing football that they need to use that athleticism in the correct way. So, if you saw a Broderick Martin-sized guy on a Georgia football team, he very well could have came out and been a Jordan Davis or Jalen Carter-type guy.
Yeah, and this, I don't know what the coaching is there, but that's the other difference, is it sounded like he needed some coaching. His pads were too high when he came off the line,
That's exactly what I'm saying. When you play at Western
Kentucky, it makes a difference.
When you're playing at Western Kentucky, how many of those guys are the same size as a Broderick Martin? He probably could just overpower guys and be standing up.
Yep. And even to build off of that, it's not just the coaches, but it's like you're saying, the people. He was probably the best one on that team, even with his flaws. So, you know, iron sharpens iron. If he would have been on, like you're saying, a Georgia team, he's got other people on the line that he's playing against, offensive line, that he literally has to, like, up his game and learn more in the college level. So I feel what you're saying. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So we'll move on to our last one here for our main event. We have Will Hill, Fox Sports. He said, history shows that Goff is a good long shot bet for MVP this year. It's currently 35-1 odds for him to win MVP. Most quarterbacks around him are at a 15-1 odds or better.
So, are you a betting man?
Am I a betting man? I can never put the money down to bet. I can't stomach losing the money.
Yeah, I'm not either, but what he's saying here is the numbers make sense. Like, he's not saying he thinks Goff will be MVP. He's saying if you're going to throw money at something, like, the odds of him are really, really favorable that you'll make money on this. If I had to put my money down, I would also put on Goff because I think he will be MVP. I really do. I think he is going to be the MVP of this season.
I just don't see it happening just because I don't think he's going to have the big performances that he needs to do it because of how good the run game is in Detroit.
I think we're going to have him though, Brendan. I really do.
Well, I'm not saying that he's capable of having those games. I don't think he's going to need to because of how good the running backs are going to be. If you can get, you know, 150, 200 yards combined out of David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs per game, that's going to be hard to stop.
That's going to live and die with that. It's so many things, man. This is why I love the offseason. People get so like, oh, the offseason is boring. I'm just like super excited. Like the things that go hand in hand here, okay? These 200-yard games that you're envisioning or hoping for, that lives and dies with the offensive line meshing and gelling, and we've got new people on the offensive line. Like there's just so much that ties into everything.
And
are you worried
about that? Because I'm not. I mean,
no, Zeitler is a freaking absolute stud.
We have, what, three for sure returners on that line. The
Ragnow, Glasgow, yep, and obviously Sewell.
Oh,
congratulations on the marriage, by the way.
Sewell. We have four returners because you've got the bookends, Decker and Sewell.
Yep.
You got the guard in Glasgow. You got the center in Ragnow. So the only question is how is Zeitler going to, you know, squeeze in there? I'm not at all concerned just because he's a Pro Bowl player. He's been good his entire career. I don't have any concerns with him other than, you know, if injury were to come about. And even at that point, we have people that we can slide in and play in tough spots behind him.
July 13th, I'm going to throw this out there. If you are at all interested in offensive linemen or the offensive line in general, and you're a Lions fan, enjoy this season because Decker and Ragnow, this could be their last run. It's possible. I'm not saying that happens, but it's possible this could be the last season we see those guys there. It's possible.
I think
you can't say it's not.
I'm not saying it's not. I just don't see Ragnow. I think Ragnow still loves playing the game, and as long as they're winning and have a shot at doing something, I don't see him hanging it up. I think I'm talking
health.
Because, yeah, I know that's what I'm saying, but you know, this season there was also those questions floating around, and they didn't really go that far.
You also don't know what you also don't know how bad things are. I'm not trying to downplay his injuries, but he came out and like made it sound like I'm fine. And it sounded like they were going to be cutting his foot off at one point in the season.
There was talk about him losing a toe. Did he lose a toe? I don't remember.
I don't know. If you were Ronnie Lott, you just have that finger cut off and you just go back out there essentially. So
we kind of got off track there. So we'll stop that conversation there and we'll move into a bit of some fun talks here. We got that was random.
Yes, sir.
You want to kick it off? Go ahead.
Of course I do, because this is my homeboy. This is hopefully old Matthew Judon has been talking about or has been sounding like he's going to be traded or moved from New England after he declined. New England declined to extend him. I apologize. Is it possible he could be a trade target to Detroit? What are your thoughts on that?
New England has shown that they're in a rebuild and they're looking to move people out, and Judon is one of those aging guys who probably is going to give you a little bit of draft capital to recoup, and you can use that either to trade for other pieces or mm-hmm. use it to pick. And I don't see why the Lions wouldn't be. I think he's a prime deadline candidate this year, and that's all I'm gonna just keep beating this one, but it's going to depend on what the I knew you were gonna do that. It's all gonna depend on what
I saw you looking around
the edge players do around him, and if or around the Lions. If the Lions edge players are not playing up to par, I very well could see a trade deadline move this year where Judon ends up on the Lions. Now, I wouldn't do anything for more than I've said this, I don't think I would give up any more than a late day two or early day three this coming draft and a late day three in the 2026 draft. I think anything other than that is crazy, and maybe you remove one of those picks and you package another D lineman that they want, like a Levi or a Kamish if you want.
He might be on the move. That might happen.
But I just don't. I think it's possible, yes.
Here's what I have to say to the Judon thing. My Gliac King. Let's go, baby. Bring the GVSU player back home, baby. Let's go.
Let's get a Ferris player.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid again.
We can get a Ferris player instead. Let's make a trade with the Dolphins against
Zach
Zeeler.
The stuff you're going to have to give away for him is crazy. He's the one shining star that's ever played for that team, so that's not going to happen. Ferris, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We'll circle back to that.
Okay.
I got some other names.
What are you going to say? You played for him or something? Or?
I'm just saying, I don't know how many Grand Valley players I've seen in the last few years play in the NFL other than Matthew Judon. I've seen 3, 4, 5.
It doesn't matter, because Matthew Judon, the GVSU King, is coming to Detroit, baby. It's going to happen. Yeah, we're going to do it.
By the way, that's my foam finger. So
yeah, but you got it while you were visiting me in college, bro. Yeah,
okay. Anyway.
And I was in the stands because I was just a peon school. Person. I wasn't okay, part of the team.
He was too busy taking bowling class.
It was golf, damn it. It doesn't make it any better, though.
Okay. Number two, point number two here, right?
Yeah, let's go.
State of the Pistons.
Oh, yeah.
The Pistons made some moves free agency-wise this last week or two here. They brought back Tobias Harris. Tim Hardaway is on his way back to the state of Michigan, going to be playing for Detroit. They got Malik Beasley, and they re-signed Simone Fontecchio to a rather cheap deal, I think.
Thank goodness, man. I was waiting for that one forever.
And then the biggest news of all was Cade Cunningham reportedly agreeing to a 5-year max rookie extension.
The Pistons finally got their guy.
He's – I don't know. I guess your overall thoughts on their offseason and – what you would grade it so far.
So, a couple things. First of all, formal apology. Trajan Langdon, I'm sorry. Because I didn't give you a chance, and I think you're doing very good. I will rescind that immediately if Jalen Duren is moved in this offseason. I will immediately rescind that. I think Stewart needs to go. That's another move that needs to be made. I think it's time for Stewart to go, and this is coming from someone who was a very large Stewart fan. I think Ivy would be a good trade piece. Other than that, I think I would give it about a B+, and that's really good for a team that won 14 games last year. I think I saw Woodward Sports. They were kind of just, you know, going back and forth. I think they put the over-under just to get Flannel Sam all upset, basically. They put the over-under at like 28.5 wins. I would say we still come under that, but I think we're going to be much improved next year. I'm thinking 25 to 28 wins we're gonna see this year, which is a good improvement for a 14-win team. You can't ask for a lot more in one season. So
I'm going to say 30 to 32 wins this season. But
he thinks we're bringing back like Derrick Rose all these other
guys. I don't
guys.
Think they're going to do anything other than, you know, that's still not going to be a playoff spot, not even a play-in spot probably.
No. That's out of question this year.
But I think some of the things they addressed are going to help with their shooting. Tim Hardaway is a good shooter. Mm-hmm. You know, Tobias Harris is no slum.
Malik Beasley.
Beasley is a really good shooter.
Fontecchio.
Fontecchio is a good spacer too. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Sasser's coming back, and he did well for his rookie season.
This is a season where you just kind of make some of those mid-tier signings and hope that
some things.
It does enough to repair the image of the Pistons in the league, and hopefully that'll help you draw in some bigger people next year.
Well, yeah, and here's my other thought process, and I think I've seen this before, so maybe I might be biased on my thoughts here, but I think I can see we're hoping, you know, Tobias Harris has a good season or a good half of the season. Then you move him at the deadline for trade pick or for draft picks. You know, you're hoping to get something here that sticks that's going to help your future. I think that's what they're doing with like Tim Hardaway and that kind of thing. So do you have a grade for it or not really?
I don't know. I think it's...
It's got to be a good one if you're saying 30 to 35.
I'm going to give them a B-. I think a B- works there.
Okay.
But I'm not going to give them anything higher right now. I don't... Those guys are good pickups. But
you're not going to tell them what you were saying at the top of the show?
What?
That you would have given them an A if we would have drafted Bronny?
Did not say that at the top of the show. I will say that I'm not going to say impressed, but I think Bronny's been doing rather okay during summer league. He's not putting up the points, but he is really good on the defensive side of the ball. He is really good.
I actually think Connect is showing up too.
Well, Connect's a first round pick. He should be showing up. I hope he is.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I wish we would have had him.
But, I just don't. Bronny could be good. I just don't think he had enough development, and he's going to need some G League time to get that extra year or whatever of college development that he missed.
Yeah, I will say this about Bronny. So, like, I don't think he should have been drafted. I think he should have stayed in college another year. That's what I'm saying. I think he should have waited another year. And I think, you know, like you're saying, he could be good. It's possible. He's not right now. He's not good. He's not. But I think the heart attack or whatever they're calling it, cardiac arrest that he had set him back. I think he was afraid to come back out a little bit. You know, there's a little bit of like, what if this happens again? All that kind of stuff. So I'm not going to dwell too much on it, but I'm just saying it's possible that it clicks for him. We'll see.
All right. Well, then let's stay on another Detroit team while we're talking about other teams. And we already alluded to this at the front of the show, but we have a lot of fans have been talking about the possibility of the Tigers trading away their ace pitcher, Tarik Skubal, moving him at the deadline. I guess he's a Cy Young hopeful right now, and he's been playing really well this season. Mm-hmm. He's pretty much one of the only bright spots for the Tigers this season. What are your thoughts? Do you think they should trade him? Do you think they should hold on to him?
Do you know what would make me even more mad than if the Pistons moved Jalen Duren?
As if they traded Tarik Skubal.
Yes. Because, listen, and I'm the one who posted this. I can sit behind, you know, the Lions Basement Banter X name, and you guys don't know which one of us it is. I'm taking credit for this. If you are a fan of the Detroit Tigers, and you are pissing and moaning because this team sucks, and you want to trade Skubal, you're not a good Tigers fan. That is the dumbest take that I have heard in a long time. That is just absolutely backwards asinine to me. Like, oh my gosh, we suck so bad. So let's trade our best guy. what are you really going to get out of him? Like, you're not going to get that much. You build around a guy like this. What did we do with Verlander? We built around him, and then what did we do? We were going to the World Series. Like, you take somebody this good, and yes, you know, it's the bats. That's the problem we have. I get that. Besides one pitcher that I won't name his name. Anyways.
Kenta Maeda.
You'll name his name. Anyways, so what I'm saying is, if you want a couple other pieces that you want to move, that's fine. Do not move Scooble. The dude is the only shining person, the only bright spot on this team this season, and you can't tell me otherwise. Everybody else on this team is absolutely tradable or even cuttable at this point. Scooble should not be moved, and he should not even be shopped, in my opinion.
No, I think they have... I don't think I should... That I'm going to just echo you. I don't think they should move him, and for the same reason. If you... How many years now have the Tigers been in a rebuild or some kind of retooling process as well?
All of them.
All that does is put you back to step one. Like,
yeah, what are you going to fall on? Torque?
Well, no, what are you going to do? What are you going to trade him away, and what are you going to get in return? Most likely a washed-up player, maybe some prospects.
So here's the
thing.
What
have we done with prospects in the past?
Thank you.
We do not have the propensity for developing talent. It's just not there. So we need to rely on the guys that we do have and then make signings and trades on guys that have already proven. And then we start developing prospects, and hopefully someone comes up and plays well. I mean, it's crazy to me to look at what's happening with other teams and the guys they've managed to develop. And it's happening right now in Pittsburgh with their pitching room. They got that, Paul Skeens, or
yep.
Whatever it is.
Yep.
And he's having an incredible run as a rookie. And why haven't we had that is the question. Why are we continuing to strike out on guys like Casey Mize?
He's just trying to get a like from Libby Dunn, by the way.
I don't care about Libby Dunn. Yeah,
anyways,
whatever.
Keep going.
I don't see.
There's no logic in it.
The logic.
There's no logic.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, and I agree. And I'll even go one step farther, because we're talking about what have we done with prospects, right? We've been horrible with talent scouting and prospects the last however many years. Okay. Oh, people are saying, well, let's trade Scooble for, you know, two proven MLB players. What is Javi Baez doing on the Tigers team? How are we doing with that? Because he was a proven player before he came to Detroit, and he sucks.
He was a proven player, but he did have the struggles on the bat still.
He sucks.
A very good defensive player.
He's not anymore.
He used to be.
But that's what I'm saying. You know what you have in Scooble. You know what you have. Why would you roll the dice? You got one good player. You got two more years on his contract, I believe. Stick with him.
All right. We'll move on from that. You're getting a little heated.
I demand it.
The last thing we're going to talk about on our show, I said we were going to get into a little bit of pop culture. And
for my last trick,
Detroit related. We've got the legend of Detroit, Eminem, releasing his new album this week, The Death of Slim Shady, The Coup de Grace.
And for my last trick... I love that song, dude.
Thoughts,
that song.
Have you listened to the whole thing?
Yes.
All the way through?
Yes.
Okay. Thoughts? Any songs that stood out to you?
Fuel is dope. I really liked Fuel. That was a good song. Houdini's good. Toby was not great. I don't love that song.
I actually like Toby, and people were
it's
hating
boring
on
to me.
It. It's boring, but I thought it was hilarious. I think it's just because of the callback to a Spider-Man movie. I think it's hilarious with the. Toby Maguire got bit by a spider, and then he's talking about him.
But me, it
bit
was a goat.
By a goat. Yeah.
Okay.
It's hilarious.
So solid. But here's the thing. Overall, I gotta just say, and you guys know this. I'm not saying anything. You know, anybody who's ever heard an Eminem song, I don't even care if you're like, I don't like the swears, or I don't like, you know, whatever. If you listen to his lyrics, he is an absolute genius. He is a lyrical genius, and at 51 freaking years old. He put out this album, and he still has it. The stuff that he has in this thing, I can't even give you examples, but just the stuff that he says is absolutely crazy.
Here's one that I want to say.
One of
my favorite songs was Lucifer, just because of the line in one of his verses where he said, "We squashed the beef like a hamburger patty, or should I say gigantic turd. Because I put that shit to bed like Amber Heard at a mattress firm.
that's what I'm saying. Like, you can be upset about the things he says, or he's controversial, but you cannot argue the fact that he's a lyrical genius. All right, I mean, I can't even remember what one it was, but he literally is talking, he's going back to, like, his days before and how he struggled because his first album flopped completely. And he's going back to that, and he literally says something like, as soon as I stopped giving an F, I started to celibate. Oh, dude, that's nuts. Like, those lyrics, I mean, I'm get like, oh, dude, yeah, he comes up with
stuff. You can always
awesome
say what
stuff.
You want about Eminem and the quality of his music. If you don't like it, it's whatever, but you cannot deny the lyrical genius that he has.
You cannot.
And it's one of the things that has, you know, kept him so consistent. It's just, there are a lot of these other rappers these days just don't have the lyrical genius to produce songs like that, because he
so they
can
do
take
flash
something
and flare to cover, yeah, it, yeah,
he can take something that maybe wouldn't be a hit for other people, but he just makes it a hit because the lyrics he has are so intelligent and timely and funny,
yeah,
that you can't compete. I don't see other rappers like, you know, I don't even want to name. Can't even name any because I hate listening to all of the mumbling. And most of the rappers today, I don't like anymore. I still listen. I like the old school guys.
Like a big Tekashi 6ix9ine fan.
No, I listen to a few of his songs that were good, but I won't listen to him. I don't know. I like an Eminem. I like a
Lamar. Kendrick
Lamar is all right. He's good. I'm not gonna say he's a bad rapper. His music isn't my favorite.
Okay, so you're a Drake fan.
No, I like intelligent lyrics, which is why I like him, and I like a Childish Gambino is another good one.
Okay, that's a good one.
And you know, I don't know. I'm just gonna leave it at that.
R.I.P. Juice WRLD, he was pretty good too. He was
like
on...
a little bit of Lil Dicky. I do like
no,
Lil Dicky.
Hold on, time out.
Hilarious.
Time out. No truer words by Brendan Samuels were ever spoken. He likes a little dicky. No truer words were ever spoken. I think we should move on from this. Eminem, what up, though? You still spitting fire. I love the fact that at the beginning of the very start of this album, he literally starts spitting. Like, I was like, oh, no, here we go. How did he, put in a hawk twa girl? Yeah, how did he put that in already? Yeah. But that's literally how he starts it. Doesn't have anything to do with that, but he starts
spitting on a grave.
Immediately.
You can see it
yep.
on a...
Yep.
He posted something, but it was him spitting on a grave.
But then,
shady.
It's just funny, because I'm listening to it in my truck, and I know I said we move on, but it's just funny. I'm listening to it in my truck, I hear that at the beginning of the album, and then he starts going, and I'm like, dude, Eminem is still spitting, and then I'm like... He started his album spitting, so it was awesome.
The last part of this thing that I'm curious about, and this is just pop culture stuff, not relating to the lines, of course, but I just think my question is, and I read this a lot in the album's description, is they call it the death of Slim Shady, the coup
de
grâce. No, it's not. Is he done? It's his music has always relied heavily on this battle between himself and this internal voice, which is Slim Shady.
Yep.
If he's putting that to bed, I guess where does the music go from here? What does he do now?
I think
it's just Marshall. It's not.
Yeah, but
I
think he did all right, because you look. I think it started. Well, maybe not started, but he had the Marshall Mathers LP too. He had Rehab, Relapse, all that stuff. I think that was kind of his way of being Marshall Mathers, not Slim Shady. And the Rehab and Relapse was to basically. Him going in and not being the schizophrenic person or persona anymore.
Yeah,
and then it came back.
The other thing I was talking about with him was I think it was cool how he had the rap, but he also had some kind of nice deep cuts too on there. I don't remember which one it was. I can't remember the title, but near the end of the album, he does one where it's a female feature. I don't know who she is, but she sings a majority of the song.
Female features.
And then he comes in and raps, and it feels like it's a something that he's making for his daughter Haley to play when he's not around anymore. Which is cool. It was just cool. It was like an emotional thing that you don't often see from his music. I mean, I know he references Haley and he talks about it a lot. And you know, there are some songs that are a little bit more emotional, but this one felt a little bit deeper. I don't know.
I mean, you know, you start, I mean, he's 51, she's grown, a grown woman at this point, and, you know, I can see that. That's a smart way to go. I mean, he might have 10 more albums in him, probably. He might. This could be the last one. You know, you never know. And that's solid. I like that. Yeah, I don't know that I reflected that much on that one. I've only listened to the whole thing one time through, and then I saw, you know, like Fuel, I hit a couple times. Houdini obviously was out before the album dropped, so I've listened to that 1,000 times, plus your Fortnite emote that you do constantly.
Don't act like he plays Fortnite too. Don't let him pass it off like I'm the only one playing
solid.
Fortnite.
Dude, you guys can Prozac 30, capital P, capital Z. Look me up.
Yeah, don't look him up. You don't want to know his kill death ratio. It's not pretty.
It's like 10.
How many wins do you have?
It's like 10 deaths to kills.
Yeah.
I have a lot of wins because Brendan and I play together a lot, and he's a freaking sweat.
I'm not that good.
You are a sweat.
But anyway, I digress. Let's move on. That is the end of our show today. We've reached the, you know, the last,
our closing,
the
our
last
conclusion.
Minutes of this show. So I don't have much else to say other than, you know, thanks for sticking with us while we took a little bit of a break to refresh, and hopefully we'll have some cool stuff happening to our set in the coming months, coming weeks, whatever it is. It depends on how much time we get to dedicate to it, but we have some plans to spice things up and make it look a little bit different and hopefully add some more fun elements.
For sure.
Zach has been adding some posts to our TikTok, so feel free to look us up there. We'll hopefully be posting more content there, maybe some YouTube shorts. Follow, like, and subscribe our channel there. Other than that, all I have to say is go Lions. Do you have anything else?
You know, I'll throw out the go Lions baby in a second, but I just wanted to throw this out. I'm going to change something up. First of all, we are still on Buy Me a Coffee. If you guys like the show, you want to help us with the changes we're talking about, that's a donation. We would love that. You can find us at Lions Banter. It's also been on the ticker down below this whole time going through. Of course, if you're someone who doesn't want to donate, but you want something for the money that you earned, which makes sense, we also have a shop. You can check that out. It's an ever-changing thing. I'm constantly going through and coming up with new ideas, and we're building stuff on that. So the last thing I want to point out is on the ticker below, we have had for the last, I think, forever, we've been saying that we're going to give this out. It's a JMO card for 300 subs on YouTube. Brendan brought to my attention, which is a good thing. He brought to my attention that maybe that not everybody collects cards, so that doesn't make sense. So screw it. 300 subs, I'm buying one random person a jersey. 300 subs on YouTube. So as soon as we get there, we're going to buy one lucky winner that is a subscriber on YouTube, a jersey from NFL Shop, any Lions jersey that you want, or I guess any NFL jersey. If you're seeing this and you're a fan of another team, it'll pain me to buy certain ones, but I will get that for you. 300 subs on YouTube, and we'll make it happen for one lucky winner. So
if you request that we buy you a Caleb Williams jersey, we will have it shipped here, and we will burn it on camera.
And then we will say your name because you follow us. But that's another thing I want to point out real quick before we close. We have one idea that we're going to be doing pretty soon. It'll be prior to the beginning of the season. And this kind of came actually with the death of Slim Shady, kind of ties in the thought process. We will be burying the same old Lions here on set at some point prior to the season. And it's going to be just kind of a fun, funny thing. So be sure you tune in. Be sure you follow us on all social media, Lions Banter, pretty much anywhere. And subscribe on YouTube. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, go Lions.
Go Lions, baby.